And will turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. The first covenant is given at Mount Sinai by Moses and the elders of Israel in chapter 24. Jesus, when he comes and is celebrating the Passover with the disciples before he goes to the cross, instituted the Lord's Supper, and in there he said, "This is a new covenant given in my blood." The new covenant was a covenant that was totally unconditional, because that covenant was based upon not men fulfilling and keeping the law and not sinning, but rather based upon the fact that Jesus had kept the law for us and had not sinned, and he who was without sin paid the penalty for our sin and took our sin upon himself when he went to the cross, that we could have eternal life. And a new covenant was given. This is the first covenant, and it's going to be ratified between God and the elders of Israel and the people of Israel. And let's just take a look at what this covenant is and what happens and transpires in the giving of this covenant. Chapter 24, verse 1, and he said unto Moses, and that is the Lord, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." Just pause here. Abihu and Nadab are the sons of Aaron. They're two of the sons of Aaron. And so the Lord is telling Aaron, his two sons, Moses, and the elders of Israel to come up, but they're not to come all the way up into his complete presence. "And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." Now, I just want you to see something here. They're not allowed to come into God's presence. They're not allowed to come nigh. They need to stand afar off. One thing that's different under the new covenant than the old covenant: in the old covenant, you were always away from the Lord, and you were kept away from the Lord because of your sin. In the new covenant, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we can come boldly into the throne room of God. You and I are considered the children of God, and we can come in crying, "Abba, Father, dear Father," come into his presence and draw near unto him. It's something that we couldn't do before, and the reason we can is that we are as if we are without sin. As he looks upon us, he sees the righteousness of his Son covering us. In these men's lives, they are not allowed to come forward, because instead of God's righteousness, they had to have their righteousness cover them. And so consequently, they were sinful men and must remain afar off. "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do.'" Now, you're going to see that this is the first ratification of what God has told them that they are to do, and they are reaffirming what God has said. "We will obey. We will do what the Lord has commanded." Moses had gone up, and God had given to him and established with him, as we saw earlier, law, and had embellished upon those laws on how they were to live, things they were to do, and what their how they were to reflect in their lives their relationship with him, and that they were to live a certain way. And now the people, not just the elders, but all the people, are saying, "Yes, we'll do this." And we're going to see this is the first time that they ratify this. "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, Moses is going to confirm what the people have said by establishing an altar, and he's going to make forth a ratification of this covenant, and he does it by first establishing a pillar. These pillars are symbols of the various tribes of Israel. 12 pillars, 12 tribes. He also builds an altar. And what's going to happen at the altar? He says, he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. This was what was done on the altar. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Now, the half of the blood was put in basins to be used later, and we'll see what that's used for in just a moment. But half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. This is a sign that the covenant was made with blood, and it was made, first of all, it was shown on the altar. The altar was representative of coming to God, and it was representative of the Lord. And so this covenant, half of the covenant was the Lord's, what the Lord promised and what the Lord would do. And he then took the book with the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said for the second time, all that he hath said, the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. Now, the first time, Moses hadn't written it down. The first time he just spoke the words. The second time it says he went and wrote everything down that God had told him, and now he has come back and he's read this again to the people. So it's not like they didn't hear what he said. They had been, this is the second time, the first time it was done audibly, the second time it had been written, and he reads from the writing all the things that they are saying they will do in obedience to the Lord, and they reaffirm for the second time, we will do what God has said, we will obey. So they've stated this two times now. Moses then took the blood, this would be the blood that was in the basin, and he sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, as you see here, is what God's standard is laid out for the people, a standard of absolutes. There is no gray area. I remember a number of years ago, I met with a pastor, and we used to get together for lunch quite often, and we'd always get together, and the discussion always came around to black and white and gray. And he said, Glenn, you're just too black and white. You know, I look at that the Bible is a little bit of black and a little bit of white and a whole bunch of gray. And we need to be looking and interpreting, and we can't really say that there's all these absolutes. Well, really what he had embraced was the relativism of our culture and not the absolutes of Scripture. I want to tell you, God is not in the business of being gray. God isn't in the business of not having right or wrong, good or evil. He is in the business of this is good, this is evil, this is right, this is wrong. You need to obey what is right, you need to do what is good, you need to disobey what is wrong, and not do what is evil. That's very clear in Scripture. This was all laid out for the nation of Israel. The law was given, and the Lord said, this is the law. This is my standard. It's not a standard that's negotiable. It's not a standard that you can come and say, well, I think this is a little hard. Can we take this before a jury or a justice or someone that can interpret whether you really have the right to demand all of this on me? No, God says, this is the law. I am God. I created everything. I set the rules. These are the standards. Are you going to obey them as my people? And the people said, yes, we will obey. So Moses is reaffirming this. So Moses took the blood and he sprinkled the blood of the covenant. This is a covenant which they had made with the Lord. And he sprinkled it, which the Lord had made concerning these words. And he sprinkled this on the people. Now, this was showing that there were two parts of the covenant. One was God's word. These are the absolutes. God has set out the standard. The second part of the covenant was conditional on the people keeping their word. God would keep his word, and he would bless the people when they kept his word, when they obeyed him. That was his part of the covenant that he made with the nation of Israel. The second part of the covenant was they had to obey the Lord and do his will in order to receive the blessing. And it wasn't an unconditional covenant. This was not unconditional. This was conditional. And it's conditional on our ability to keep the word. Now, we're going to see now that God establishes a period, a test period. Oftentimes in the Scriptures, you'll see a period of 40 years, 40 days. And whenever you see the number 40, it's usually dealing with a time of testing. Moses was placed on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Why? This was a time of testing his character, of testing his obedience to the Lord, of testing would he really follow God or was his heart still in Egypt. We see that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and he was tested, and there were temptations that he had to face. Here, we're going to see that the nation of Israel, Moses is separated from Israel for a period of 40 days. And we're going to see what that's all about in just a moment. But before God does that, he not only he confirms this covenant that he's made, and he does that, as I mentioned on Sunday afternoon just a little bit, he goes up and he meets with the elders of Israel, and they break bread together. It says here, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under the feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Now, the scriptures say that you cannot look upon the Lord and live. Yet we see that these 70 elders, the two sons of Aaron and Moses, go up and they meet with the Lord. Well, who is this? Well, if you go and see, you see that the times that you can come into the Lord's presence, the Lord manifests himself, and oftentimes it's in the form of the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus met Abraham, and Abraham ate with him. We talked about that on Sunday, as he came and met with Abraham. We see that the Lord revealed himself and wrestled with Jacob. If he would have revealed himself in all his glory in both of these places, the men would not have been able to live. But when he comes in the form of the pre-incarnate Christ, they can live. Jesus took on the form of a man when he came to earth and to take our sins upon himself, and he was alive on the earth for 33 years. During that time, when people came into his presence, they didn't drop over dead. However, when he spoke with the authority of God, which he did, even when they came to take him away, if you remember when they came in the garden to take him away, and they said, "Are you Jesus?" And he says, "I am he." I am. And when he spoke those words, it says they fell back. They couldn't even stand in his presence. And here you had these group of men that were upset. They were coming to take him away. They wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the way. But they couldn't stand in his presence unless he allowed them to do it. That is the power of God. Even when he came and veiled his glory and emptied himself of it, yet when he just allowed a little of it to come through, men could not stand. We see here then that God is veiling his glory. He's coming to meet them, not in his full glory, but he comes to meet them and he comes to have fellowship with them. "And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink." And so we see here that this is a interesting thing. They ate and drank with the Lord. When the Lord came to Abraham, what did he do? He ate and drank with him. And we oftentimes see that when God meets people and veils his glory and comes and in a pre-incarnate form in the Old Testament, he does eat and drink with the people. This is a sign of fellowship. He came to show that he desired fellowship with them, that this covenant was designed to create fellowship. As he came and made promises to them, if they obeyed his word, by their obeying it, they would walk in fellowship. When we meet together, and you stop and think about it, what we eat becomes who we are. People say that, and that's why you want to watch what you eat, because that's what's going to go into your body. And you stop and just think about it, it's something that every person has to do. Yet God uses this oftentimes for a sign of fellowship. In the New Testament, you had the Lord's Supper, and then they would have a meal afterwards, a time of fellowship with the body, and it was done around the table. We do that here too. We have the Lord's Supper after our service. We have a time of fellowship around the meal. And it's a time where you can share with one another. You can talk with one another. And you can have intimacy and fellowship with one another. God is doing that with the elders of Israel here. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And so now he's going to telling Moses, I want you to come up, I want them to stay down, but you're going to come up here, and there's going to be a specific purpose for you coming up here, and that is I can give you what we refer to as the Ten Commandments. It's really a summary of the whole law that God gives to Israel. I forget the exact number of commandments, but there's it's over 300, 600 commandments. It's a whole number of commandments. And I apologize, I had the number, but I can't remember right offhand. But there's a whole lot of commandments that are given in the Old Testament that the nation of Israel had to keep. They could be summarized in the Ten Commandments. Jesus even further summarized them, and he said you can summarize the Ten Commandments into two. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, which is basically the first five commandments. And thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, and that is the last five commandments. And that is in these are contained all the law. And so we see here that God is going to go and he's going to give the Ten Commandments, which are a summary of all the commandments that he has Israel do, and they're a summary of even everything that he's stated so far, which isn't all of the commandments he's going to give them, because there are dietary laws and health laws and social laws that haven't been given yet that will be given when you get into Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And later on, where these are embellished and added to as he reveals more of his law to the nation of Israel. But Moses is to go up and receive the Ten Commandments, which are summarized in these Ten Commandments. And they're also not suggestions. They are commandments. And these are absolutes that God demands. It's not something that, well, I'm going to suggest you do this because I think you'd be better off doing it. No, these are laws and you need to live by them. And as Jesus said, it's not just to outward actions, but it deals with the inward heart. Jesus said that that sin begins in the heart, and it works its way out into our actions. He said that lust begins in the heart. He who looks on a woman and lusts after her, it's as if he's committed adultery.